June 9, 2023, it's the Watch for Pedro Show.
Woeful Blind Sap. A tuned piano. It's not every jazz club that has one. In this airless town, where jazz clubs are scarcer than zazz clubs, it's a rare Thursday night you will find one fulfilling a jazz role. Rarer still, tuned keyboard with an ashtray inside. Clango plango! Ashtray on the strings. This is no prepared piano. The pianists didn't prepare it. Is anybody listening? Dowagers at a far table. One pale as flour, the other pink as pig meat. Let's see. No. Breeze-blown pretty person, eyes like mice, with Leslie Howardish yuppie. A terrible word you should never use. Also, no. Six German industrialists. Germans love jazz, right? Not these germs. 9 times 6. Middle-aged fun couple from Protestant Port, Iowa. Population 980. Not listening. Bartender, waitress, not. 14 knots. And me, listening. Intently. A listening fool. Solemn at the Steinway, the pianist espies neither clothing nor cleavage of they who ain't listening, nor of he who is. Nor do they, the ain'ts, seem aware the man cannot see them. He has not tipped it off by wearing shades. Blind but hardly deaf, he sees not their pores nor their teeth nor neuroses, but he can hear and does hear their humph-pumph-jowl above whirrings and purrings of the multi-speed blender preparing their frosty wet fizzes, slings, punches, hold the straw. Hotel fun, they're having it. But applause, no. No claps till I raise the issue. The loner claps first. Before the final note has even died of old folks, giant steps, and ostensive, not unquirky originals. Another sometimes two tables pick up the cue, renuancing the sonic pastiche like three crickets in a hailstorm. My chore, and welcome to it. To monitor and register quasi-audible approval of the shadeless one's licks and such, to sit and stanch wait for him to spill, if pos. His guts, with a touch never ham-fisted, no, nor especially heavy-handed, a line neither turgid nor glib, a demeanor not a jot cloyingly ebullient or insouciant or morose, an unflaggingly not unwinsome ivory persona I would like to like and don't dislike, but neither do I specially truly like. So why am I here? I'm here because there is no cover charge. I'm here because this dunzo town where few warm bodies play and fewer come to play, you take your playing where you find it, if play finding's your meat. If you don't take it, I've learned the hard way. They'll be dead before you get another crack. They came, they played, they left forever. Zoot Sims, Al Cone, Philly Joe. essaying the night for ever marginal a yeah, I've made it my policy to go see any visiting warm blood over 50. Anyone I ain't seen previous, who if not among the top 22 of all time, they being 1. Charlie Parker, 2. Thelonious Monk, 3. Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, 5. Lester Young, Eric Dolphy, Bud Powell, Ornette Coleman, Cecil Taylor, Albert Eiler, 11. Coleman Hawkins, John Coltrane, Fletcher Henderson, Count Basie, Billie Holiday, 16. Charles Mingus, Roy Eldridge, Benny Carter, Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, Sidney Becht, Jelly Roll Morton, is, was, has been at least nominally competent, and on occasion more than Lou Donaldson, you know, Mal Waldron, Clifford Jordan. I'm here in the ground floor lounge of a mid-range inn on the Strip, and not Catalina's for Johnny Griffin, 58, because the latter venue told me scram for contesting a double cover charge assessed as I sat for a second set of Milt Jackson, 63. They said, never come back, and though never's a long time, tonight still seems too soon to try. I am here, thus, to take in a mildly touted newcomer to this squalid town, though he is closer to 38 than 58, and closer still, one suspects, to 28. To see, hear him, and be done with it, both sets, if ness. Trying hard to like the guy, part 1b, I decide he's eclectic. Will that do? Idiosyncratic? Like, all right, try this on for size. Like Rand Blake or Jackie Bayard. A tune's worth of trial. An original in 5/4. No, not nearly. Not as distinct as Rand Blake. Distinctive. His A just doesn't equal A. Or the A it does equal isn't nor distinct as Jackie Bayard. Not enough surrender to his own, insufficient walk on the personal side? More anonymous than most eclects and idios. Too little revealed depth of, I don't know, there's just not enough private mess, or something, to hang even a small hat on. Well, a kid's size, maybe, but not... Hey, at least he's not Oscar Peterson. Low filigree count check, an unclunky dynamic with occasional odd cordings, peppy use of, then suddenly, clang. It's not one of his chords. Plang blang. Won't somebody save him? Our semi-harried waitress, all tables hers, serves a green drink and a brown drink to Mouse Eyes and her yuppie. Then, in mid-hop to her post, she spots an object missing. Drinks, candles, ashtrays. Details of the gig. And she keen eyes the absence. Yippee-yay, got it. But ears not the related nearby presence. No tray on piano top. Replace that tray. Scratch one, savoir. For a half minute, the clang-bang continues. With no fun change in anyone's manner to suggest auditory cognition. Is it down to me? So I get up, rush over, and before I'm there, he's already reaching down, around with his left hand, riffing in the bottom octave with his right. I stand silent. He gets it. I ask him, you got it? Am I a friend? Foe? He don't know. Just sighs. Good old Hyatt House. At solo's end, Harry, that's him, dabs his unflinching sunglasses face with a hanky, unfolds a thin metal staff, makes his way to the bar, orders hot tea with lemon. Great idea. When the waitress comes round, I order a not tea, my third, and stare mawkishly at Mouse Eyes. No lipstick or makeup. Oh boy, a person. Her hair like unmade straw. I would horizont with her in straw any time. Would I? I probably would not. Her consort I would, wouldn't, smash in the nose with a cast iron skillet. New arrivals. Aussies or something in rugby shirts. Fortified by the orange pico, Harry plunges into a snaky New Orleans R&B type thing. Snappy. A broad-striped Australian bops his head. Could it be? Hallelujah! Wait, no. He's wearing a Walkman. Ah, but at least that tackles the problem of pegging the music. The better to access it. Why even bother? Non-musical vectors have been out-vectoring musical long enough anyway, so how about we call it official, terminal for tonight, and get down to reeling in some buck-naked poignancy. Not fun. Estrangement. And, oh boy, dignity under fire? To salute the dignity, I try clapping louder than last set. I can't clap much sooner, or much louder either. It hurts. So I throw in a, yeah, with the clap-clap. To pre-cue the throngs, I try telepathic commands. Clap or die, clap or die. But the hand claps, if anything, decrease, without fatality. Slowly, steadily, my enthusiasm wanes. And by the fourth or fifth tune, a mid-tempo Days of Wine and Roses, I can't shake a notion that the playing, back to music, has become increasingly less valid, less cogent, an accompaniment, though it hasn't changed, not a mote, and maybe that says it. What does glib mean, anyway? For either the player's burgeoning not fun or mine, he does sound glib. Sounds turgid, whatever that is. Sounds as if he has quite possibly so sounded right from the start. I realize, nay confess, I don't care for his goddamn music. I haven't all night. And now, barely even his blind-ass dignity, and then Mouse Eyes returns from the bathroom or somewhere with lipstick that glows almost orange, and the Krautzer are suddenly very intense. And I think of that line from the penultimate, I believe, flying Walenda crack-up, Ich kann nicht mehr halten. One Walenda tells the others he can't hold it no more, just prior to dropping 'em. And I don't handle pressure too well either. Can't keep cheerleading this ball game in the name of bleeding ever-bloodyable humanity. Can't hack shilling for a sap whose ongoing sound spew reveals not a soupçon of who or whatever he may in fact be, who has probably come to this clang-dang town, it seems fair to infer, to become Oscar Peterson, or to receive his mantra and become McCoy Tyner, a pair of prospects that brings shivers to the bones of my face. And I can't stand the shabby sadness of it all, and I don't want another beer. So I pocket a souvenir ashtray and split in the rain to discover my car has been stolen.
Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Friday. Started off the show with an untitled blues jam. Scary title, right? No, but this was a private jam in Detroit, 1958, John Coltrane. I think it was at Joe Brazil's pad before he moved to Seattle. He ends up recording the that Seattle version of Love Supreme. I think he ends up on the Whistle or Penny Whistle or something on the Ohm album recording too. Then we had Woeful Blind Sap. This is a poem by Richard Meltzer, read by Austin Rich. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with us on the Wap and Pedro Show. Brother Austin Rich, welcome aboard.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Absolute. Now, I want to learn about your journey through music. Please, bring us your earliest musical recollection.
I was thinking about this the other day. I'm pretty sure it's my mom when she was playing, and I was trying to decide if it was either her guitar or her piano. But she played both quite a bit when I was growing up, so it had to have been one of those.
So, By that answer, I'm guessing there was musical instruments in the pad you grew up.
Yeah, so both my parents were amateur musicians. My mom had been in a band when she was in high school and just out of high school. And my dad always wanted to, so he collected, like, instruments from thrift stores and yard sales and things like that. So we had a fair amount of stuff around the pad that I could fool around with if I was interested.
That's what I wanted to ask. Did you jump on any of that shit?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, I think a lot of kids, it's hard to resist that guitar. So, you know, because, of course, you got that picture in your head of, like, you as Hendrix or whatever.
Jimmy.
You know. So I had my dad teach me a couple things on there. And then my mom showed me a few things on the piano. But then after that, it was mostly just whatever I wanted to do.
So with the piano, you didn't have to go through the art. Well, like a lot of guests on the show, I've been doing it 22 years a month now. We're kind of the piano lesson ordeal, right?
Well, you know, only when I asked for it. But I never had to go to anybody to teach me. It was usually I would say, "Hey, Mom, how does this song go?" Or
no, I'm talking about, "I want you to learn this. I'm coming back next week. If you don't have it, you're full of shit."
Yeah, nothing like that.
Your ass down and okay. Let's get a little before, because I want to know about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Yeah. So, you know, we had all these, like, horns and stuff. And so the school band was always looking for people to sign up. And I noticed they needed a trombone player, and we had a trombone. So I did that, I think, maybe like a year and a half.
Bone, that's bass clef.
Yeah. I was always sitting over by the tubas and stuff, you know.
Yeah, watch a little prejudice that way. So,
it was kind of fun because, like, you could read the bass lines and play these weird, funky bass lines if you could read music on your trombone, and you could kind of emulate the radio.
And actually, you could get in James Tenney territory with the microtone shit with that machine.
Oh, yeah.
And big mouthpiece. My friends told me a lot easier to march than that goddamn trumpet or French horn shit. Let me ask you this.
I do regret not having that. I wish I still had that bone.
Okay. But at least you put in some time. That's bitching. You know, it's all, whenever you play, I think you invest in the next time you play. So who knows? That fucking might figure in these compositions that you gave me. Let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think I got two albums the same day. So my mom had a used record store and a bookstore when I was a kid. And so I could kind of, like, work for trade in the store.
Yeah, barter.
Yeah. And so I put in a few hours, and I think the first records I came home with were, they're both Doors albums. One was just the first Doors album, and then the other was a greatest hits record.
Okay. And then the first gig you saw?
I think this was when, my mom also liked to go see shows, so she took me to see Robert Palmer. I think it was Simply Irresistible Tour, but I'd have to look into that.
The ladies with the bright red lipstick and black dresses.
Yeah, I do recall when we got to the show thinking, where are those ladies going to be on the stage?
He was a good singer. He, I think, died kind of young, 40s or something. His heart went out. Switzerland or something.
Yeah, I remember reading something about that.
Good singer. Okay. Now, not after school, like graduating, but after school in the afternoon. Mm. Did you get into the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band thing with some buddies?
sort of. So I had a lot of friends who we all kind of fancied ourselves songwriters, but not many of us played music. And so we would. I used to call this loafcore, where we would kind of talk about what our bands would be like, and we'd trade our lyrics back and forth.
Now, you don't have any bands yet, right? If you did.
Right. So if we did, it would be like, yeah. And so I remember one specifically, and we even had one practice for this. Cappuccino Hallucinations was the band.
Okay.
And this is my friend Damon Armitage. He was the kind of co-conspirator. And I remember we went out to his pad, and we just gathered every musical item we could find.
What were you on?
I think I was doing keyboards and singing, but I mean, we kind of traded stuff back and forth because there was a guitar there, and you know, we were mostly kind of doing joke songs because you know we're kids, you know.
Yeah, but they're original. You're not copying off records like me and D-Boom.
Oh, I think there was a cover or two in there as well, but there were a couple of original songs. But the, I mean, they were embarrassingly. Youthful.
Well, you got to start somewhere. Right? I mean, now this band, was it just a prac band or did you guys end up doing some gigs?
No, I think there was just the one practice and then mostly just kind of trading lyrics and stuff. Kind of, I mean, it was a good reason to kind of get together and kind of get better at your musical spiel, you know, because like sometimes you think your lyrics are really great and then you show them to someone else and they're kind of frowning and you're like, oh.
Right, he don't get it. She don't get it. Yeah, but that, you know, that's the dilemma.
Right, yeah.
Well, one of the dilemmas. So, especially if you're trying to do like some, write more than one person, an ensemble, you're trying to make an interesting conversation. Maybe it takes lyrics like that to get it going.
Right, yeah, well, and certainly they trigger other thoughts, too.
That's what I'm saying, like a pry bar on the fucking, you know, pin-up shit, yeah. So, you know, it seems to me, from listening to your music, a lot is like, done by you. I'm not talking just the performances, but the caption. Were you involved in, like, recording early?
You know, I was always interested in it. Like, I got a tape recorder pretty young for one of my birthdays, and I was always recording the radio and then cutting out the DJ parts and pretending I was the DJ.
Yes.
You know, recording other people and kind of putting them into my fake radio. You know, like that was always kind of something I did as a kid. And as soon as I started seeing live music, I wanted and occasionally would I wanted to bring my tape recorder and kind of record the, you know, so like recording was certainly a bug I had early.
Okay. And did you start some solo proj? Not for a while.
Not for a while. My first band was actually a punk band that I joined. They were kind of already starting. They're called Cathead. I still keep in touch with those dudes, too, actually.
And were you the singer keyboard?
No, and that so before then, I kind of imagined myself kind of more in percussion.
Yeah.
And so I tried that for a bit. Didn't really suit me very well, and they needed a bass player. So
whoa,
I kind of picked up the bass and taught myself how to play.
Well, no, let's talk about this. What was your first bass?
It was one that belonged to the band already, and it was kind of funny. It was like set up for a left-hander, but then they restrung it for me to play right.
Okay. And what kind of amp?
It was, I think we borrowed my dad's Fender amp that he had lying around. He also had a half drum set that we used to kind of complete our first full drum set, too.
Okay. No. So they got a bonus deal when they got you in the band. You got
right. You get a free gear as well.
Yeah, right. So what kind of bass again?
I mean, it was just like a regular kind of PV bass. Very quickly, I got the little Fender copy that I have now that's or a Squire or whatever it is over in the corner there.
Okay. And like you said, you're autodidact, you teach yourself. And fingers or pick?
You know, I tried both. And sometimes these days I will play with my fingers, but most of the time I'm playing with a pick.
I think both is all right. You know, it's more vocabulary. Why not?
Yeah, well, there's times it needs that finger pick, you know? Like it,
Absolutely.
Yeah, the sound is just,
being just one kind of limits you. If you could do both and it's possible. It's like I remember when Jay asked me, I hadn't played pick in 17 years, man. It was fucking tough.
Because it feels like you have this extra thing in your finger. You're like,
well, with fingers, you don't have to worry about how close you are on the string. On the pick, you do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, and like you can, there's definitely an advantage. Like you can go faster with a pick, but sometimes that's not what's needed. So
that's right.
Yeah, you know.
That's right. You got to aid and abet the tune.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it's all about the, yeah, the, you got to be there with the song.
I mean, I think all the instruments should, but fucking bass and drums especially. Look, I want to play this tune from you, a tribute to Irv Tybel.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to a tribute to Irv Tybel. He was a sound artist that began working in the late 60s, where he would essentially use computers to create natural soundscapes that were like the ocean, like waves on the ocean, like wind, like all these other things, but were completely designed by computers. He was into field recording. He would go out into nature and record these samples, but then spent a lot of time in the studio manipulating them and creating a very interesting series of records called Environments. And so we're going to do a tribute to these Environments records. And the best part about the Environments series is that it encompasses the sound of the place that you are at. So as you're listening to this, and as you're kind of thinking about what you're hearing and what's going on, consider what Irv might have done and contribute to the composition from where you're at. Now you can just talk and be part of the background chatter, or if you're more inclined, come on up and participate in the performance. But anyway, this is a tribute to Environments. Now, Irv Teeble suggested that these records that he made were good for relaxing babies, for meditation, or for lovemaking. So hopefully this inspires you this evening. Thank you.
Is it a metaphor? Or something in the air? How much of this is real? And how much do you care?
A lot of people don't realize what's really going on. They view life as a bunch of unconnected incidents and things. They don't realize that there's this, like, lattice of coincidence that lays on top of everyone.
Which way are we going? And how are we getting there?
Let me give you an example, show you what I mean. Suppose you're thinking about a plate of shrimp. Suddenly somebody will say, like, plate or shrimp or plate of shrimp, out of the blue, no explanation. No point in looking for one either. It's all part of a cosmic unconsciousness.
Do we know the way? Or are we running scared?
You know the way everybody's into weirdness right now? Books in all the supermarkets about Bermuda triangles, UFOs, how the Mayans invented television, that kind of thing.
Where are we going? And how are we getting there?
The way I see it, it's exactly the same. There ain't no difference between a flying saucer and a time machine. People get so hung up on specifics, they miss out on seeing the whole thing.
Is it a metaphor? Or something in the air?
It Take South America, for example. South America, thousands of people go missing every year. Nobody knows where they go. Just like disappear.
When are we leaving? And how are we getting there?
But if you think about it for a minute, realize something. There had to be a time when there was no people, right?
Yes.
Well, where did all these people come from? I'll tell you where. The future.
How much of this is real?
Where'd all these people disappear to?
Past.
That's right.
And how much do you care?
And how'd they get there?
The fuck do I know?
Flying saucers. Which are really... Yeah, you got it. Time machines.
Which way are we going? And how are we getting there?
I think a lot about this kind of stuff. I do my best thinking on the bus. That's how come I don't drive, see?
You don't even know how to drive.
I don't want to know how. I don't want to learn, see? The more you drive, the less intelligent you are.
Lot for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with the Black Noise Orchestra. This is live, Space Concert Club, Salem, Oregon, 11 November 2018, entitled Tribute to Irv Tibal. Then Scrapers Papers with Daddy Don't Dance. Yeah.
Nice.
Is that a question or is it a statement? And then Mini Mutations with the original motion picture soundtrack, Lattice of Coincidence. Brother Austin, enlighten us to these big tracks you gave us.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I didn't drive for many years. When I finally did learn, I kind of felt like I needed to tackle that subject. So I started working on this.
We're talking about driving a car.
Driving a car. Yeah, I didn't have my license for years. And so when I turned 40, I finally got it.
Whoa! What'd you do before that? Bicycle or a train?
Oh, bussing and walking,
bus. Yeah, of course. Okay.
Yeah. So when I turned and finally got this license, I was like, I gotta do a song about this. And so the Lattice of Coincidence was a lot of me kind of wrestling with, like, what does it mean now that I have this?
Let me tell you about 40. Skill. That's a heavy year, 40. That's when John Coltrane passed away. That's when Franz Kafka passed away. That's when we lost Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, it's interesting that that's a transitional year and so many people pass around then. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. You heavy. Never know. That's why sometimes, I remember I took Big Man on tour, this younger guy. This guy was 7 months short of 40 years younger than me. Ralph couldn't tour, so big man. And I remember him saying, oh, load in is so-and-so time. We got a couple hours to kill. And I looked at him. And he didn't have to say anything.
Yeah, the wisdom of the ages.
Yeah, he's going to have. Right. They say the youth is usually wasted on the young.
It is unfortunate that way.
That's just the way it is. So okay. You're saying Lattice of Coincidence is focused on this sitch of learning, getting your license at 40.
Yeah, well, and so I had to kick it off with that, sample of the beginning of Double Nickels where the
Hands stand up. I recognize that motor.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's my biggest connection to driving before I could drive was listening to that record and going, like, oh, they're driving around, yeah.
And you know, the title was about driving, right? Because Sammy Hagar said he couldn't drive 55, but he made this fucking, you know, kind of whatever, safe music. So we thought, well, we'll drive safe and make crazy music. So the whole title was a joke on Sammy Hagar.
People that was my favorite thing about that record was realizing that it was kind of this conversation with other music, you know, that it wasn't right. just kind of its own musical
statement.
It had
nothing to do with a numerical highway system.
Right.
You know, it just means driving the speed limit. In those days, we had to conserve because there was the gas thing. Hit me to Irv Tybel.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So another one of my pastimes is record shopping. And, you know, I kept seeing these environments records every time I'd be out, you know, shopping somewhere. And you've probably seen these. They got, like, usually kind of like a nature image on the front. And it's just, like, kind of relaxing ocean sounds or,
what was
know.
That guy? There was a comic, Norm Crosby. His whole shtick was fucking up words, dyslexic, he'd say, oh, the babbling brook, and that view is perspiring. Like, using
right,
the wrong
right.
fucking words, but, like, trying to come on like you know what the fuck you're saying. Yeah, okay. So what happened? This guy made records like this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he was, like, an interesting cat who, like, studied with Lamont Young and all this other stuff.
Okay.
And so, like, it, you know, it's funny. It's like you find these records and you buy them because you're like, oh, yeah, it's a dollar. Sure, why not? And then it becomes a whole education when you start reading about it.
Right. What do they say nowadays? The kids say rabbit hole.
Right. Oh, yeah. It is kind of like that, though. Where, like,
fall down
one
the
rabbit
was Alice, right? Alice was the original rabbit hole faller downer.
Right. And she was just kind of following whatever. Oh, it comes this way. I'll go that way. Yeah, you know, check it
out. Actually, the title is Through the Looking Glass, but yes. Details.
Yeah, we're not here to
you know, the movie, I found that out, that the movies are like just this schmaz of fucking, speaking of schmaz, we lost the Iron Sheik. You know, that's this old wrestling term for, like, we ain't got a script, so let's just throw it together.
Right.
Okay, so you start getting, Lamont Young, we're talking about, like, well-tempered tuning and this kind of shit. I went to the Dream House in New York City, like an 8-year piece or something.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't there 8 years, only a couple hours, and it was sweaty.
Sure.
Motherfuck. It was in August. Okay, so this turned you on to a whole new way. Because I want to know what the arc of that band you joined. How long were you in that band?
Yeah, so Cathead was around for, oh, gosh, maybe 4, 5, 6 years, maybe at the most.
Do you remember
they kind of had
first...
a little prehistory before I got in as well.
Yeah, but do you remember your first gig with Cathead?
Oh, yeah, it was Halloween. I totally remember that. Yeah, I came in, everybody's in costumes.
Yeah, what did
you
wear?
Hmm?
What did you wear?
Oh, yeah, I had kind of a mishmash of things. And so I remember wearing some, like, tights and then these kind of elf shoes. You know? It was like a real kind of, like, whatever was in the, you know, closet. And
right. You know, that's actually with that word sukiyaki. You know, you make chow with whatever you got, right?
And then they changed it.
There's a big pop song from Japan. They didn't know what to call it, so they called it that. And actually, their title over there is like, I look at the stars so the tears don't run down my face.
Yeah, it's like a 50s pop song, right?
Well, 60s. And then he had a cousin. He was killed in a jumbo 747 crash. But then his cousin was Kaoru Abe, not the prime minister guy, but this really wild kind of John Coltrane influenced open music jazz saxophone player. Ended up on harmonica doing that shit. Died like 29 of OD or something. So was that gig a success, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, it's like you get to hear, like, live music close up, really loud. You're participating as the percussionist. Like, everybody there is kind of like yelling between songs and clap. You know, like, It was the first time I was on that side of the stage, and it was one of those things where I kind of instantly knew, like, oh, this is irresistible. Like, I want to do this more.
Were you in the band 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, because we were playing around town, and then we were trying to record, and then, like, we had a guitar player who left, and so we kind of tried to redo it as a three-piece, and Yeah, there was a couple eras of that band in there, and the writing was on the wall kind of near the end, where it's like we were all kind of interested in different things, and it just, you know, wasn't working out.
I think they say it ran its course.
Yeah, right, right. Well, yeah, you kind of set yourself up with a certain kind of identity, and then, like, when you've written 40 songs on that subject, it's like, how much further can we go with a band name called Cathead?
Like flogging the dead cat, right?
Right, right, right. So, and certainly we were all kind of like bursting around the edges of that, where suddenly all the songs we were writing were no longer these simple punk songs. They're kind of evolving.
Whoa.
It's time to move on.
Whoa, okay, okay. And speaking of moving on, we're at the end of the first hour, June 9, 2023, edition Watt Pedro Show special guest, Austin Rich. Hold tight for hour two. June 9, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Good morning, and welcome to another wonderful day on the Starship Hyperion. We are currently stranded in space, with absolutely no hope of returning home. This is now your life. Have a nice day. Engine room. We seem to be in a bit of a skirmish at the moment. We're going to need you to divert more power to the shields and get out of your pajamas as soon as possible.
I feel the engine there beneath my feet. We fucking sway to the pulsar's beat. The klaxons buzz like a siren song. I punch the code and hope it won't take long. Bruised and broken from our last defeat. We barely made a hasty retreat. Phaser fire can now be heard. Another fight without a warning word. It's a quasar burst on the Navicom. The sensor readout can't be wrong. Like an atom bomb. It's a quasar burst on the Navicom.
Engine room, this is Commander Sherman on the bridge. I hope you're seeing what I'm seeing, because if that's the case, I'm going to need you to beat a hasty retreat once we get rid of some unwelcome guests.
Deck 9 just took a blast. I scramble for the engine node. Changing circuits that can take the load. Don't take any time to think. The ship could fail in a single blink. Pull the lever, move a different way. If you wanna see another day.
It's a quasar burst on the Navicom.
The force will hit like an atom bomb.
It's a quasar burst on the Navicom.
Dodge and weave, another phaser sting. What a course. Before we lose another wing, gravity shifts, the moons collide, I punch the engines, and watch us glide. I feel the engine there beneath my feet, we barely made another retreat. The ship is safe for the moment again. Not for long, it's just a question of when. Until then, it's time to fix it up. Another fight and we're out of luck. So until we're up and running again, I can't return to bed.
Engine room, this is Commander Sherman. Looks like you pulled the bat out of the fire again this time. Way to go, Sam. Now report to the ready room as soon as possible. We'll have a list of repairs for you, and you can get back to work.
Turn on the lights. It's all right. Calm yourself. Everything is under control.
Haven't you listened to anything I told you?
He needs more time. See that he's not disturbed.
We don't have any more time.
Now. There's always time.
Nature. to do.
And we're going to give the biggest party this town ever has.
In that empire, the art of cartography attained such perfection that the map of a single province occupied the entirety of the city, and the map of the empire, the entirety of a province. In time, those unconscionable maps no longer satisfied. Cartographer's Guild struck a map of the Empire whose size was that of the Empire and which coincided point for point with it. The following generation, who were not so fond of the study of cartography as their forebears had been, saw that that vast map without some meticulousness was it that they delivered it up to the inclemencies of sun and winters. In the deserts of the west, still today, there are tattered ruins of that map, inhabited by animals and beggars. There is no other relic of the disciplines of geography. Suarez Miranda Viajes de Verones Prudentes, Lerida, 1658.
Now, we are going to have the biggest party ever.
Ever held is now into its fourth generation. And still, no one shows any signs of leaders. Someone did once look at his watch, but that was 11 years ago now, and there has been no follow-up. The mess is extraordinary and has to be seen to be believed. There have recently been some bangs and flashes up in the clouds, and there is one theory that this is a battle being fought between the fleets of several rival carpet cleaning companies who are hovering over the thing like vultures. But you shouldn't believe anything you hear at parties, so particularly not anything you hear at this one. One of the things that seemed like a good idea at the time was that the party should fly. Not in the normal sense that party was meant to fly, but literally. One night, long ago, a band of drunken astro-engineers from the first generation clambered around the building, digging this, fixing that, banging very hard on the other. And when the sun rose the following morning, it was startled to find itself shining on a building full of happy, drunken people that was now floating like a young and uncertain bird over the treetops. The planet over which they are floating is no longer the planet it was when they first started floating over it. Bad shape. It is one hell of a party.
You get up on your little 21-inch screen and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. What do you think the Russians talk about in their Council of State? Karl Marx? They get out their linear programming charts, statistical decision theories, min-max solutions, and compute the price-cost probabilities of their transactions and investments just like we do. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business. It has been since man crawled out of the slime. And our children will live to see that perfect world in which there's no war or famine, oppression or brutality. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock, all necessities provided, all anxieties tranquilized, all boredom amused.
For 19 years, he had lived like a person in a dream. He looked without seeing, heard without hearing, forgot everything, almost everything. On falling off the horse, he lost consciousness. When he recovered it, the present was almost intolerable. It was so rich and bright. The same was true of the most ancient and most trivial memories. Now his perception and his memory were infallible. He could reconstruct all his dreams. He told me, I have more memories in myself alone than all men have had since the world was a world. The truth is that we all live by leaving behind. No doubt we all profoundly know that we are immortal and that sooner or later every man will do all things and know everything. Prunus not only remembered every leaf on every tree of every wood, but even every one of the times he had perceived or imagined it. His own face in the mirror, his own hands, surprised him on every occasion. He was the solitary and lucid spectator of a multiform world which was instantaneously and almost intolerably exact. I repeat, the least important of his recollections was more minutely precise and more lively than our perception of a physical pleasure or a physical torment. He was, let us not forget, almost incapable of general, platonic ideas.
Calm yourself. Everything is under control.
Haven't you listened to anything I've told you?
He needs more time. See that he's not disturbed.
Pedro show. Start off the second hour with the Short Pockets doing Quasar Burst on the Navicom. Then Brendan Eder and Sabo with Where Else? People, here's the title, okay? This is Many Mutations again, but this time, Calm Yourself, Sweet. And there's many parts to this. There's always time to heal, the natural order of things. Today, a go-go, Borges, Boogie, Breakbeat, maybe Luis Borges. The biggest party ever, immutable bylaws, and finally a person in a dream. Whoa. Okay. Many mutations. Okay. Catheads. And you still want to do music. What's your next chapter?
Yeah. Well, so I realized if I want to take this serious, I gotta start studying. And so I was interested in radio, and so I started volunteering at this radio station. And you know, very quickly, you start seeing all these albums. You get access to, like, these different kinds of music. You're growing up, I've heard you talk about how, like, all you knew was, like, arena rock. And that was kind of how I felt as a teenager, where it's, like, most of the music we were hearing was kind of like Motley Crue and stuff like that.
Yeah, kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah, and man, the radio just, like, opened it up where it's, like, you have this huge library, and you can try out jazz records you've only ever heard about, and, you know, my ear got a lot bigger kind of just volunteering and spinning records late at night.
Okay, and that's, you know, other people's performances. What about your performances? They're on hold for a while, right?
Yeah, because I went to college, and I started doing a zine, and, you know, a few other kind of...
The zine's focus, was it music?
Yeah, I usually had, like, a couple, like, reviews in each issue and trying to keep up on what's new and stuff.
Okay. And in the timeline, where is Many Mutations? Well, that's more recent, huh? Many Mutations.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I realized that a lot of the stuff I sent you is actually kind of some of my newer projects.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
Let's not get there yet.
Short version. How about this?
Well, let's not get there yet. Let's. Well, you're at college. You got the zine. You're working. You're volunteering at the radio station. What are you doing as far as your musical journey?
Yeah. So I started realizing, and this kind of came from listening to a lot of Negative Land, that the radio station is a studio.
Yes.
And so I can start kind of fooling around where I can, like, play samples over top of things.
Right.
And I can bring in my bass and kind of play my bass along with stuff. And suddenly the show can get a little weirder. And then eventually I realized, well, this is basically a band.
Right.
And so from there, like, so I had a lot of kind of like Jack Flanders experiences.
Whoa, CBS Media.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So you're hip to that, upstate New York. Yeah, Meatball Fulton.
Yeah.
Still around. Jack,
I love that guy's stuff.
The voice for Jack a couple years ago passed away.
I know, it's a bummer, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had all these Jack Flanders moments where I realized I had to get out of my own way. And, like, you know, because I had one idea of what stuff could be.
Let me tell the listeners, ZBS.org, people, if you want to learn about ZBS Media. It's incredible. I accidentally bumped into them middle 70s. Like 73, something like that. Yeah, 74. Okay, so go on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, yeah, no. You just kind of have these, like, epiphanies where, like, you think a band is one thing, and then you realize, oh, it could be this. Or it could be this, you know. And suddenly music has more possibilities than it used to.
Yeah, it seems like you had a Cajun, John Cajun moment.
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
What is music, right?
Yeah. Well, and suddenly, like, music went from, like, okay, it's got to be, like, a power trio, rock and roll stuff, to, well, actually, you know, jazz pieces can go much longer than 4 minutes. And, you know, like, there's all these other possibilities that when I was a kid wouldn't have been on the table.
Yeah, absolute. So you had kind of like a sea change.
Yeah, very much. I like that. That's a good way of putting it.
No, my pop was a sailor. I want to play this Olsen Twins Gaslight and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. we find one of the most beautiful of national parks. Yosemite, known to many a traveler. Tourists are often tempted to feed the day bears in the park.
Is it safe?
Yes, it's safe. It's very safe. It's so safe you wouldn't believe it.
Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe?
Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe?
Watt for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with a piece called Session 1. Live at the Lava Lamp. God damn that stuff. Lounge. There's another L. Patio. Thank God for the P. 10 September 2022. The Olsen Twins guest. No, Ghostlight, people. Fuck that up, sorry. Ensemble. Then the Born Shit Stirs out of Fukuoka, Japan. Is it safe? And you could notice that movie thing, Mr. Hoffman and the Marathon Man. And the only good part of that movie. No disrespect to Max von Sydow, but fuck, they ran out of gas quick, and it would be.
Right.
Xandar. I'm guessing that to pronounce here. Where the samples and melodicas play. Okay. Trippy. Who are the Olsen Ghostlight Ensemble? Olsen Twins.
Yeah. You start playing shows and you just start meeting people, which is kind of like one of the things I was hoping would happen because, you know, I like music and I like musicians. It's funny, you played the show with the Black Noise Orchestra piece happened, because at that show,
I met
this guy, Scott Eve, who's a guitar player.
Yeah.
He came up to me afterwards and he's like, oh, I really thought that was kind of cool. We should jam. And so I got together with him and.
I tell you, Brother Austin, how many bands start at a club? How many fucking bands start at an arena rock show? You know what I mean? No, there's just something about it, cats, you know? Why are they at that gig, you know? There's just something about it, you know?
Yeah, well, and it's like, I mean, we know this from just playing in as many shows. It's like, it's the stuff after the show where, like, the connects happen.
Absolute. So what do you guys do? You get together some jams?
Yeah. We used to start kind of, and this is a chance where I wanted to kind of free improvise with somebody who wasn't just me, like, playing along with records. He was in the same boat. He's like, yeah. So we kind of, like, would jam back and forth. And it was also a chance to kind of stretch out because, you know, I was doing a lot of experimental electronic things. And Olsen Twins kind of leans more in, like, the organic kind of nature sounds direction.
Yeah.
So,
I think they call it a field recording.
Oh, yeah. I do love a good field recording.
Okay, yeah. The member Cabaret Voltaire, when they were a three-piece, one of those guys went to the BBC, the Watson guy, and that's what he got big time into.
Sure.
Trippy. Xandar?
Oh, yeah. Similarly, through radio, I met my friend Xeres, X-E-R-E-S, he plays in a lot of kind of free improv style kind of bands. And, so we just kind of started seeing what we could do together. And, you know, it had a very different flavor than what we were doing with the Olsen Twins. And so I kind of liked that, you know, especially within free improv, you could kind of stake out different kinds of territory, and it wasn't, like, all just kind of sounding exactly the same.
Yeah. You know, the dilemma that I find, and this is what I ask a lot of, because I'm inspired by improvisational musicians, they, you know, talk about letting the fucking freak flag fly. I think Jack Wright said jumping away from the pole. That was Sam. In Pueblo, Colorado, I forget, but it was an older gentleman, and just this whole kind of idea of, you know, he who dares, you know, at least you go down swinging if you lose. But the dilemma, like, who goes first? This is why I always ask. How did you guys handle that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of funny because I think sometimes the room goes first in a way, you know, where, like, there's kind of something already happening in the space. So, you know, I'll use this. There was a show where we were going to open up for Wally Shoup in Portland, and I kind of had this idea of how the show was going to go, and then when I got there, I realized it wasn't going to work. The venue is just, like, where the stage is and the sound, and you kind of just start, like, looking around. You're like, oh, this is not.
We had an old joke in the SST days, you know, overthrow reality with a concept, but then reality has the last say. Don't worry, you know. Look, I got to stop here and let you continue because we're at the end of the second hour.
Oh,
June 9, 2023 edition, while Peter is a special guest, Austin Rich, hold tight for hour 3. June 9, 2023, it's the third hour, watch for Pete Ocean.
Season 3, nothing really ever seems to click with me. If you want a song for me,
Watch for Pedro Show. Started the third hour off with the 1164s. Turning My Back on Today. And then Manlio Maresca, Terracina, Italy. But he's living these days in Berlin. His Squalor Bar. He's going to be on the show soon. Next couple weeks, I think. Maybe it's next month. And then Short Pockets again. Remember those guys, people? They start off the second hour. The Havoc Scene. It's a great title. So, please continue where you were last hour when you finished up with the Xandar, right? You went to the gig with a concept, but then the actual reality of that gig wasn't going to let that concept happen.
Yeah, well, it was just a very good lesson for free improv where, you know, it's like sometimes the room goes first and you have to kind of follow, you know.
Sure, sure. Let's say I got a sailboat and I go into the ocean. I cannot tell the wind which way to blow.
Exactly.
I can pound, I can chop my feet, I can throw my little piece of chalk, I can do sugar bowl pose, I can do teapot pose, but the wind's going to blow how it blows. Unless, you know Agamemnon, he makes a deal, right? I'll sacrifice my daughter if you give me a sack of wind so I can get to fucking Troy and kill a bunch of people.
Right.
We're not like that. We're not like that. What happened? Was this the place where the samples and the melodicas play?
Yeah, well, I think that was just a really good lesson, and Robert certainly, or Ziri's, Xandar, he's definitely kind of helped expose me to more of that kind of stuff.
Speaking of the Iron Sheik, got to hold on to kayfabe.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Sorry. Mr. Xandar.
Yeah, it's like you learn so much from other music and other bands and meeting other people and trying different. This is the thing that I felt like I wasted a lot of years on, was thinking like, oh yeah, punk rock, the movement, that's gonna, be where I put all my energy.
Yeah.
And then years later you learn about all this other kind of music.
But you know what? In a way, punk ain't a music. I think it's a mentality. So you just bring it to all the different music. See, I think that was the problem. They tried to say it was a style instead of a movement or a state of mind. Hit me to Short Pockets, because you gave me two pieces.
Oh, yeah. I realized I think I mislabeled one of those, because the Quasar Burst was supposed to be shot, reverse shot.
Okay.
I think that was my mistake, actually.
Yeah, but I can fix it. Reverse?
Yeah.
What? Say it again.
Shot, reverse, shot.
Shot, reverse, shot. That's a name.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, explain, Lucy, both those projects.
Yeah. So, I kind of got to this point where I was having a lot of ideas. I was meeting a lot of people. We were all kind of like collaborating in different ways. And I wanted a kind of a way to wrangle all this stuff. And so I kind of came up with this idea of these musical postcards. And each postcard could represent a different project. And so I, did an old-fashioned mailing list where I would mail these to people, and it just has a little QR code on it. And so people can scan it with their phone, and the phone starts playing one of my songs.
Okay.
And so that was just a nice way of kind of like, okay, well, if I have all these ideas, I'm meeting all these people, I'm working on all these things, it's like putting out like a regular album that has like 12 different, completely different kinds of things on it seemed kind of like I wasn't sure how that would work. And so I was like, well, I'll just do these postcards. And then it's a nice motivator to make a new song every month, to kind of try to like work on something to keep busy, just try to like challenge myself.
Some work ethic.
A little bit, because no one else is sitting here going like, hey, when's that song going to get finished?
Okay, Short Pockets was named wrong. We're going to play another, so you actually gave me three mini mutations, so we got to get into mini mutations. But let's play this one. It's got another, suite, people. It's got a bunch of parts. Let's listen.
Are we there yet?
Shouldn't somebody be asking, are we there yet?
think this is it.
All right, now, higher up.
Follow me.
It's, this way.
Come on.
Found that of the total number rejected.
well, every four was rejected because of a mental or nervous condition.
Redirect or you'll just keep spiraling.
Down, 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 down.
I'm not sure.
What should we do next?
Falling down, down, down.
The unconscious, which controls most of our behavior, is comprised of thoughts, wishes, feelings, and memories that have been repressed in consciousness because they arouse anxiety. But even though we're not aware of our unconscious thoughts, they have a powerful influence on the decisions we make, like decisions about our professions, mates, and habits.
Oh dear, some horrible memory from the event, no doubt.
We all get them.
Yes, indeed. By night, we all get them.
We get pretty anxious, so we protect ourselves with defense mechanisms like repression, regression, reaction formation, projection, rationalization, displacement, and sublimation. All defenses reduce or redirect the anxiety by distorting or denying reality. All defenses are a form of denial, which is the unconscious refusal to accept reality.
Hey, where's your mask?
This is bad.
Isn't it?
It's between 600 and 750 days since the event, but that hasn't stopped those of us that survive from enjoying ourselves.
I'd say it's partly due to a health habit. Let me show you.
The increasing incidence of infection is prompting nurses and other medical personnel to reevaluate procedures employed in patient care. Since most disease-producing organisms are destroyed when proper aseptic procedures are used, hand-washing is considered the most practical and consistent defense against the spread of infection. The following scenes demonstrate an accepted method requiring 60 to 90 seconds to perform. Hand-washing should include the forearms up to the area pointed out by the nurse.
I wish I'd listened more before the event, don't you, Peter?
Yes, I wish I'd listened to how you grow foods.
Using either cake or liquid soap, first lather the hands thoroughly. Then rub the dorsal and palmar surfaces, applying approximately 10 friction movements. Next, interlace the fingers and cleanse the interdigital spaces, again with 10 friction movements.
New and surging psychiatric tent designed to detect any symptoms of mental instability.
How many times did you do it?
Not that often.
Sometimes more frequently than I care to admit.
Now, soak the forearms and rub each for 10 to 15 seconds.
Let's see. Dry well, keep nails clean and trim. Shave when necessary, aftershave lotion, underarm deodorant. Well, I guess that does it, eh?
Well, not quite.
Always rinse carefully, allowing the water to flow from forearm toward the fingertips. After repeating the hand-washing procedure, clean the fingernails. A toothpick may be used for this purpose.
I remember when I was a kid, I used to have spells where I was afraid that such a knife would hear I cut my throat.
Ever feel that way now?
He's probably just going over and over the event in his head. This might be a good time to remind our viewers, if there are any, please don't think about the event.
Dry the hands and forearms thoroughly with a paper towel. Then, with a dry portion of the towel, turn off the water faucet. To prevent skin irritation, complete the hand washing with an application of a suitable lotion or cream.
How do I get out of here?
when the ego's control over the id is threatened, we get pretty anxious.
Anybody free for a Zoom call later?
So we protect ourselves with defense mechanisms.
What shows or podcasts are you binging lately?
Since all defenses reduce or redirect the anxiety by distorting or denying reality.
I've gotten so much done around the house.
All defenses are a form of the unconscious refusal to accept reality.
Where are we now?
The nation itself can ill afford to endanger by neglect the future health and happiness of that younger generation for whom the world belongs.
Repression is banishing anxiety-arousing thoughts, feelings, and memories right out of your consciousness.
Come out with your hands washed.
I don't know how much more I can take of this.
Regression is retreating to an earlier stage of development, like the boy who picks up thumb-sucking again on the first day of college.
Some have done it by providing a healthy outlet for the teenage boy's desire to show that he is as tough and daring as his older brother.
Reaction formation is switching unacceptable impulses into their opposite. For example, fervent activists might be fighting against their own strong impulses that they want to deny.
He has a healthy look and an air of confidence. I don't think I'd call it luck. I'd say it's partly due to health habits.
Projection is when people disguise their own threatening impulses by pinning them on other people.
I gotta get out of here.
This doesn't feel right.
I've been hiding here for too long.
Rationalization is when you justify your actions and cover up the real unconscious reasons.
So a toast to friends, new and old.
An alcoholic who claims he's drinking just to be sociable is rationalizing.
We're never gonna make it.
What shows or podcasts are you binging lately? Anybody free for a Zoom call later?
Displacement is when you take your anger or some other unacceptable feeling or impulse and divert it from its source to something or someone else.
What did we learn this year? Come out with your hands washed.
I need you more than I ever have before, so I can make noise forevermore.
And finally, sublimation is rechanneling unacceptable impulses into socially acceptable stuff, like works of art.
What are you working on now?
It's personal.
Oh, it's very personal.
Please be gentle. Okay.
Hey, that's a really pretty picture.
Oh, oui, oui. I thought about mutilating my canary, but I figured I'd paint this picture instead.
Etc., etc. You get the idea.
Where are you going?
Well, I have to find ways to entertain myself. I need to express myself.
To have some new ideas, maybe even write a couple of new songs, eh?
I gotta find myself.
Don't worry, I'll be back.
Musician would go into a studio, and the mixing board that they were recording into would have like a broken, I don't know, capacitor or transistor. Or something wasn't working correctly, but it produced like a really cool distorted tone. And they would say, I want that sound all the time. They would try to capture that sound in a portable device so that when they were in a live setting, they could recreate it. lot of early effects pedals are actually mimicking malfunctioning equipment, which I think is really cool. Effects pedals are little devices that change the tone of your instrument. There are pedals that do all sorts of things. You can add reverb, or you can add echo. They're going to play something really trippy. Maybe they need reverse delay, and maybe they need, you know, something that simultaneously plays an octave above and below whatever note they're playing. Some effects pedals are more extreme than others, right?
Right.
Some of them really do classify as like sound effects, right? Special sound effects, like really, really trippy stuff. You know, in the digital era, you have reverb pedals where it says, do you want to sound like you're in a tiled bathroom? Do you want it to sound like you're in a cathedral? Do you want it to sound like you're in a cave? Do you want it to sound like it's an old spring reverb, like original reverb? And a lot of old guitar amps was just a couple of springs with transistors attached to them, and that gives you that iconic twangy, like, surf.
Yeah. That's what I think of when I think reverb, so okay.
Yeah, right, yeah. A lot of pedals have between 2 and 5 knobs, but again, older pedals can be really huge and boxy.
Right.
And then some new digital pedals are basically like tiny little synthesizers, and they'll have a million knobs on them. So this is a cheap delay pedal that I bought in order to modify it, because I like modifying electronic instruments, and I don't want to modify anything expensive or collectible, because there's a non-negligible chance that I'll destroy it accidentally. What I did was I opened it up and exposed the circuit board and just started poking around the wire while the pedal was engaged.
Okay.
See if I can make any interesting sound. This is called circuit bending. People do it with like old Speak and Spells and old Casio keyboards and stuff. And people do it with pedals. I opened this up and found some bend points where when I connect, you know, I jumped the circuit. I literally shorted the circuit because I created a new route for the signal to go through. See, I make a lot of, like, I guess you would just say, like, noisy, non-musical music. Screeching sounds are a plus for me. But if you can get, like, a crazy, overdriven screeching sound, I'm into it. There was a huge jump in flexibility once things transitioned from analog technology to digital technology. I'm just kind of more into the pedals as the source of the sound rather than modifying a well-played guitar. This is not the type of pedal I'm into because it's a little too subtle for me. This is like a pedal for a musician.
Okay.
And I'm like a Bleak Blue Spritz rock guy. You know, it's kind of like, let me buy this old piece of shit and see what it sounds like.
Well, how bad could it be?
And you'll hear all my cheap Casio keyboards and modified effects pedals and broken drum machines. The one genre of music that literally cannot be made without effects pedals, which is noise music. Most noise music is created exclusively or almost entirely by effects pedals. By distortion pedals, by overdrive pedals, by feeding pedals back into themselves, by creating sounds directly within the mixing board, feeding the mixing board into itself for feedback, and then running that through pedals. Or by doing something that a lot of people, including myself, do, which is you take a contact microphone and attach it to a surface of metal and then bang on it, run it through a million distortion pedals until it just sounds like explosions.
Beautiful, isn't it?
I believe one of my friends likes noise music a great deal.
Look for the signs of your friend liking noise music. What makes you think that they like noise music, but you're not sure?
How much he hates Billy Joel. Is there lyrics in noise music, or is it entirely,
well,
the sound?
So deep down to the ground is the sound made by worms.
Noise music to me is kind of like drugs. It's just more fun to make it yourself than to listen to other people do it. But I usually buy my pedals used. This guy only has 30 pedals. If you really get into pedals, you can go crazy. But really what happened was I started playing music again after a long absence, like 3 years ago. And my friend was like, let's jam in this. He had like this warehouse storage space, and his friend dropped off a drum set, and I brought over my guitar. And at the time, I think I only had one pedal. I had a Boss shifting delay that I had for like 20 years. And then once we started playing music, improv music, we got into circuit bending, started buying old Casio keyboards and modifying them. And then we invited a friend. And then, I guess for the last few years, it kind of just grew kind of slowly. I was like, I'm going to get some funky pedals and make some weird noises, you know?
Yeah. So you had
to go down a rabbit hole, and then it was like Friday, spending your Friday night, like watching a 45-minute YouTube video about how to correctly use the granular delay pedal you bought. And then you realize you just turned into a total fucking loser.
Don't have any regrets about your pedal love.
I don't need my friends anymore. I have my friends.
With I don't know a lot about noise music. I assume it is noisy. I assume that the definition of music means that there is some sort of pattern going on. It has a beginning, a middle, and an
March 26th, just after 6 p.m. Picking up where we left off, as a favor to a gaming friend, Univac, I have offered to treat his friend, Austin, and there are just no two ways about it. He used to be cool, and now he's just middle-aged, and perhaps somewhat squishier than he used to be. And let's just say he's not getting invited to any parties where beautiful and vital youths intermingle, making clever, insightful comments to each other, and eventually getting renewed for a few more seasons after a death scare in the penultimate episode. The sting of middle age is causing him to be temporarily nostalgic, and temporally nostalgic. For the things of his youth, and not in a good way, if I have to admit. If I have to listen to him make just one more passionless Space Ghost reference, I might just have to drop his case altogether. But after a quick stop at Hannigan's Pub for a fresh glass of perspective and water, it seems that Austin has talked his way into jamming with the bar band. And for the first time in weeks, there was a brief smile on his lips. And perhaps my love of greasy bar food is the key to this case, Miss Susie? Well, I may need to do more ordering now. Investigating, that is. He infects those scotch eggs on reality.
You're lucky they didn't kick us out of the bar, Austin.
Well, I'd will have been arrested if I drank like that in the street.
Yeah, it's on account we showed up with Mr. Neggy Neggy McCrab that they didn't talk to you out in your ear. You shouldn't pester people like that.
They didn't seem to mind when I asked if I could play with the band. It's been so long since I got to actually make music with other people. It sort of felt like I was back on track.
Yeah, yeah. Music is a beautiful thing that can touch the hearts of many people in a number of ways. I get it. But we're sort of here on a mission, and quickly before I have to sit through any more Italian films from the 60s on Pantone chairs.
Well, I have had some thoughts on the winter of his discontinence and some activities that you and Austin could engage with that might help reignite his joie de vivre, as the French would say. But certainly they are a little unorthodox and might require your complete and total trust.
In a way that most doctors don't usually have to ask for. Not to say that this is so dangerous that...
I won't be joining the team. And more pointedly, we're here to heal, not make things more metatarsally worse.
That sounds great to me. What do you think, Austin?
Well, so long as we're not gone too long. I was sort of hoping to catch the next set by the Fourth Sunday Players.
By catch, do you mean wave on stage or from our table where we won't bother them?
From our table?
Good, okay. We shouldn't have to miss anything if we're quick. Hey, maybe we can use one of those montage devices your precious art films are so fond of so we can speed things up. Those work on live radio, too, right?
Yeah. Well, why, that's the perfect idea. And I have just the narrative device for such a plot development.
Excellent. I will have been excited to try these things, eventually, once you have come up with the suggestions that we already enjoyed.
Audio notes. March 26th. Both Austin and Univac were agreeable to the unorthodox treatments I suggested. So, immediately, we set out to show them how Dr. Meggy Meggy McCrab likes to reconnect with potent meaning in this goddamn universe. Backpacking the Appalachian Trail was, well, not exactly the best fit for Univac, and we seemed to actually lose energy and motivation. We didn't have access to a terminal of some kind, even if it was only via satellite. I came in third place in the ping-pong competition I entered us all into. But then again, it wasn't until after I suggested that it was an analog version of Pong that either Austin or Univac could get their minds around how to play the game. Austin seemed to enjoy the screenwriting night class we all enrolled in, and I think Univac's idea for a movie about a computer that lives in the Circube pod and has a doctor friend from his gaming group who gets into the strangest adventures has potential. Sounds vaguely familiar, however. Now, did we see that one last time in a movie theater, Secretary Susie? Well, it'll come to me. Anyway, we tried a number of things that I thought would certainly work, but none of them seemed to have left an emotional mark that either Univac or I could notice. I went down my list of cure-alls, surefire cure-alls, that is, but Austin seemed inconsolable. A protracted game of Risk, 16-hour road trip to see the statue in honor of a golden piece of dental floss, a healthy four-bullet game of Russian roulette, organizing an incredibly complicated spreadsheets, baking quiche, writing some code in basement, and listening to DFM.mu performing a three-act play where Univac is detective, Austin is Mr. Body, then I was the clever international businessman, and finally, getting existential with a can of ginger ale, alone at the roof of a building. It seemed as though none of these things were working, and I was beginning to feel inconsolable. And then...
I didn't notice they had shepherd's pie on the menu when we were here before the montage.
How could I have been such a fool? A scotch egg when they had shepherd's pie? This whole time? That's a mistake I won't make twice.
I wonder if they have shepherd's pie made with scotch eggs.
A classic Caesar with a little extra pepper and a club soda is what I will want, if you don't mind.
How dare you? I'm ordering you some Stobies, and you're lucky I'm not walking off this case right now.
No, he didn't mean it. He's not feeling well.
He orders that when there's culling skink on the menu. We need to help this kid out, and fast. I should have shoved a scotch egg down him when I had the chance.
Not to make a suggestion that is beyond my usual skill set, which is not a lot, but we have been doing a lot of things, which is cool and all, and a lot of fun, except for that one thing that you made me do. But he is sort of a maker, and he has a fairly rich internal life, contrary to his outward appearance. I've always told him that. But don't you think that you should try to engage him in a way through conversation or some sort of creative outlet?
Nah, probably. But when you've been in the medical-ish professions as long as I have, you'll come to understand that most of the time, when people aren't really feeling well and they don't particularly want to talk about it, they're just hungry, not particularly nostalgic.
Really?
Well, I think so. Or maybe I was just hungry. Who knows? One or the other, for sure. Anyway.
I wasn't hungry afterwards.
So it must have worked, right?
I can't fault that logic.
It will, and already has.
So, is there some other kind of Scottish food we can order, Austin, that isn't haggis and we haven't mentioned yet? To think, all this time, it was really just the kibble in his bowl that was the problem.
Austin, do you want to start with some sliders and Highland chips? Oh, they have fancy root beer on the menu, too. Do you want that?
I have a feeling he's not really interested in food. He's already back on stage talking to Doss and Ina again. His table's all set up. Looks like he's going to try to sit in with him again for the next set. I was afraid of that. I guess it's time for me to start banging some things together to add to the cacophonic mess.
Splendid. This is all working out perfectly. I'll just order a few more appetizers. And yes, to drink. How about another stout beer, please? And I think we're good. The only thing that would make this Sunday thoroughly complete would be to sit comfortably in the knowledge that I'll be getting paid in a prompt manner this time.
I guess that depends on how good this set is, then.
I want to thank you, Dr. Mr. Neggy Neggy McCreb, for helping cure me of my malaise and making me feel a lot better this afternoon. This time I feel great.
Oh, no problem. You've taken great steps to heal these calcium that have dogged your mind. And that's a great leap forward for all men. It's been my pleasure. And I'm glad we could, well, eat my way towards your future sanity. Or sanity in the future.
So, like, what was it that finally helped? The night classes? The quiche? Please don't tell me it was the hiking of that gargantuan mountain on Spectac 4. I don't think I could walk 5 million miles in a Spectacian shoes again.
Well, yes, especially since they had three legs. I'd be curious to know what it was that I suggested that Ashley did the trick, at least for my own records.
It wasn't the hiking, or the quiche. But speaking of food, if there's any neeps and tatties left, I'd love to have some.
Let me guess. It was all the talking and conversation that we were engaged in this afternoon. Or maybe those spreadsheets we organized. That helped me out. It creatively stimulated you in a way that helped you improve your mood, maybe. Wait, there's neeps left?
Oh, actually, it wasn't any of that either. I didn't talk much today, mostly because I was unstuck in time, apparently. Doss picked it up right away and could see it in my eyes. He knew it had been too long since I'd played anything with other people and suggested I focus on a couple of live performances. And sure enough, while we were jamming, I could feel myself realign with the present. I think any lingering effects of the Antonioni movie should wear off once I watch a few TikToks.
Wait. Oh, I guess that does track. Well, now that I think about it, no wonder your grammar has been awful.
I assumed it was some new hip affectation.
Oh, I'm sure that once we finish lunch and we get all think clearly, it would eventually have occurred to me. I guess we'll need to invite him to a traveler session once in a while. So we can establish an early warning system for your chromatic cues he might offer.
Someday, perhaps. Not a bad idea. But at least now he seems to be in a great mood, so I suspect we won't have to take any further action in order for us to return to the status quo.
On a quantum level, that can never really be the case. And even though I have delved deep into my own past and future to uncover some truths about my own being, I will have to be careful that these discoveries don't become new burdens that I will need to shed. I do know that this has opened my eyes for the need to cut loose with some friends in a crappy bar once in a while. And if I want to engage in some healthy emotional hygiene, then I'll need to follow Doss and Nina's advice and take 2 jam sessions a day until my wrong way up smile is an upside down frown.
That sounds interesting.
Well, I can't really tell. Is he actually back to normal?
I think so. His mouth is going in sort of more of a sine wave, so I'm not sure. Hey, Austin, that closet of yours is a mess. Maybe you could...
Later. I need to write a few songs and probably put out an album before the end of the day. I'm well overdue.
Same as he ever was.
And that, my dear, is another case in the books for Dr. Miggy Miggy McCrae. Check, please. No. That's for him.
was your last music for this edition. That chunk started off with Many Mutations, Health Habits Suite. And the parts of this suite is, are we there yet? Please, remain indoors. Come out with your hands washed, defense mechanisms, and finally, pedal lessons. Many Mutations. Whoa. Victoria Shedd after that with Flashlight and Malfic excerpt. And finally, the fourth Sunday Players with What the Good Doctor Ordered Part 2. Okay, so I want to know about Many Mutations because it seems this is your ongoing concern of the stuff you gave me.
Yeah, well, and it's the one that kind of grew out of the radio show of kind of sampling and kind of realizing that that was, you know, a place where I could kind of do something that wasn't just playing records over and over again.
And
it kind of led to a lot of cool possibilities. It's like you meet different musicians through making music and trying to go play shows here and do stuff there. And just, you know, things kind of lead to one thing and another. And I think what was so addictive about music in the first place was that there was this nice crowd of people that were all excited about the same thing. Like, that excitement hasn't worn off for me yet.
Right, right. So are you the core member of Many Mutations and then other cats you bring in?
Yeah, that one is mostly kind of me fooling around with keyboards and samples and learning how to program drum machines. And I got a friend who does some circuit bent stuff for me that I kind of use Moth Hunter. He makes all my kind of homemade keyboards out of kids' toys and stuff like that.
What's his name?
Moth Hunter.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. He's out of Vancouver, and he makes all sorts of
now,
wonderful,
does he
fun toys.
Do you ask him to do things, or does he just voice, hey, try this?
It's a little bit of both, you know, because he sells stuff, but he'll also work on something custom, and we're old friends, so I think he enjoys doing a piece for me if I have an idea.
Right, like, I need this kind of sound, make it be so.
Yeah, or like, I found this toy, do you think you could do something with it?
And okay, yeah, repurposes for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you what you're doing right now.
Yeah, you kind of got a sneak peek. I'm trying to wrap up this Many Mutations new album, and so those suites are kind of my my rough drafts of Side A and B.
Oh, really? Okay, okay. Oh, fuck, I forgot about the four Sunday Players.
Oh, yeah. So that is, I'm also in this band, Big City Orchestra, with a number of friends, and so we do these radio plays once a month, and so that's kind of one of those radio plays where there's musical improv, but there's also scripts and sound effects. It's kind of an attempt to blend all of these different interests I have.
I was going to say it crosses a bunch of borders.
Yeah. Well, and to work with Big City Orchestra, like, they're old school experimental folks from way back, and so I just love playing with those guys.
You know, that's a great thing to do, right? Even though you've been around and you got your music thing, you go into a situation where you're the student again.
Right.
Yeah. I think that should be permanent, always like that. Or at least keep your mind open so everybody's got a shot at trying to, you know, teach you something.
Yeah. Every one of these projects, it's like I learned something from the other guys in the Short Pockets, too. It's this duo that they have a hardcore band down in Eugene, Root Directory. I was like, oh, I wonder if I could play along with them and we could write our own stuff. And so, you know, we just working in the studio with those two guys, like, I learned a lot about recording in, like, one day.
Okay, so Short Pockets and Four Sunday Player, that's actually you joining somebody else's trip. Okay. So
yeah.
I'm totally into that philosophy, too, taking turns. Sometimes you're the shot caller, sometimes you're taking direction. That's healthy, I think.
Look, yeah.
Can I put an invite out, because we're almost out of time here. But if what we played today was the makings of what's going to be the new record, that means it's going to kind of change, evolve.
I got a couple more ideas I want to try to sneak in. And
well, the invite is when you get done with that, will you come back on the show? We'll play it and talk about it.
Oh yeah, no, I would love to. Yeah, I mean, I'm always working on stuff because that postcard project keeps me like motivated.
Once a month, right?
Yeah, I got to have something. So usually I'm like, let's noodle around with this part or this.
You know,
thing.
Rituals like that are important. They are. You know, like taking out the trash and taking pisses, coming up with tunes.
Yeah, well, it's like, I mean, if you had a job and you had to do anything else, you'd have to do a little bit every day.
See that?
Know?
See that?
So it's like, I wanted to take this kind of seriously, so I figured, well, I got to work out a song or something every day.
Oh, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. I'm learning from it. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being on the show. I can't wait to have you back on.
Yeah, well, thank you. This was great.
Okay. People, June 9, 2023 edition of WAPEDRO Show. Keep your powder dry.